Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Everybody, this is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, I welcome you to Prophetic Atmosphere. People of God, I am overjoyed and touched in my spirit, amen, that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me at the Master's Table for the Word of God. I just want to send a shout out, amen, to all of those people, men and women of God who have continuously supported this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. I and my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, just want to send you our love. We speak blessings over you. We speak increase over you spiritually, emotionally, in your finances, in your home life, in your ministries, on your job. Whatever God has purpose and ordained for you to do, I speak it, decree it, and declare it that it shall be done and that you will manifest his glory within the earth. Just want to go into the announcements this morning and then follow this afternoon, excuse me, and then following that, I want to go right into the Word of God. Letting you know quickly, every Tuesday and Saturday, Tuesday at 7, Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. We've done some construction there. We ask that you would visit us. Let us know how you like it. Amen. Let us also know how this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, has blessed your life. Amen. Also, we're asking that you will become a vision partner or a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. As many of you may or may not know, we have Sons and Daughters Missions, Strong Missions Ministries that are overseas, Africa, Kenya, India, and so forth, that not only need your prayers, but they also need your financial support. We have on our website, our contact page, a donate button as well. The Lord touches your heart to donate to the ministries so that they can too, amen, can continue to produce the kingdom of God in the earth. We also ask that you go to my website, www.ctkr.org, click on the WOPD button, amen, and you can actually visit my personal website. Please leave your name, your prayer request there. We have a contact page. Give a shout out. Let us know how God is blessing your life. Amen. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing in the lives of his people. Also, the big announcement that I want to give, and as many of you know, it's been coming down the pike, and I'm getting more and more excited about the situation altogether, because I am ready, more than ready, to see what God is going to do with his people. Amen. On October 18th and 19th, listen, you do not want to miss this man of God. You don't want to miss this woman of God. Women of Prophetic Destiny, my conference. I'm personally inviting each and every one of you. This is my personal invite, Prophetess McQueen's invite to you and your church members to come visit us, amen, October 18th and 19th for my conference being hosted by Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, being held at the location of Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, October 18th and 19th, again, 2013. 13 at 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. That's 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. I will personally be speaking as the Lord lays a word up on my heart and has a powerful message for you. We have many men and women that are going to be coming to minister the word of God. Amen. And we are looking for a high time. I'm expecting signs. I'm expecting wonders. And I'm definitely expecting miracles. I'm expecting your life to be changed. Amen. I'm expecting your ministry to go to a new depth, a new dimension in him. I'm expecting your spiritual life, your mindsets to be shifted. I'm expecting God to do an inner work on the inside that will manifest on the outside. Again, that's my conference, October 18th and 19th, 2013, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Don't abort your assignment. That's the theme for this year. Powerful theme. If any of you have been following this ministry for quite some time, you know that that has been one of our mainstays that we have been preaching, that you can't forget your assignment, and that also your job is to manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. And that, again, is being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. For more information, go to my Facebook page. First of all, I need you to go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Find out more information, even register there. And you can also go to our website on the Facebook, on our Facebook pages for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries as well, amen, as my Facebook page, WOPD, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, to learn more about it. I'm expecting you to be there. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray, and then let us get into this word of God on tonight. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I love you. I love you. I thank you. I glorify you. I worship your name. I thank you for this day, your blessing, the breath of life that you breathed upon us, God. I thank you for your protection power all through the day, for keeping us, holding our minds steady, holding our attitudes together. Father, I thank you that you are giving us another chance. God, I thank you once again for being able to have the opportunity to minister before your people. I count it as a privilege, God. Now, Father, as we come, we humble ourselves at your feet. Father, we ask right now that you would forgive us and wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us from our sins, every sin of omission and commission. God, as we come before you, Father, we just bow ourselves low to the ground, worshiping your holy name, magnifying your holy name, giving your name glory and honor and praise, because you are due it. God, I ask that you would increase in my life and increase in the lives of your people. Father, I'm asking that your presence, the Holy Spirit, will come and minister through me to minister your word on tonight to shape the destiny of your people in the name of Jesus. God, let them not see me, but let them see the Christ in me. Let them not hear me. Let them not hear Crystal, but let them hear the Spirit of God speaking through Crystal on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I thank you and praise you that this word is getting ready to change a life, change a destiny, change someone's direction, God, spiritual direction in the name of Jesus. Someone will call upon your name to say, what must I do to be saved? God, let this word bring healing. Let this word bring deliverance. Let this word bring comfort. Ah, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Tonight I want to continue in the vein that we have actually been preaching on the last several weeks. We've been talking about the character of the Christian. And tonight I want to come out of the book of Colossians. Amen. I want to start at the third chapter, reading from the first verse and going down, and let the Holy Spirit begin to minister as he sees fit. Amen. And that we will not only just be hearers, but doers as well. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Yes, starting at first verse. Coming to you out of New King James Version on tonight. And the word reads to the people of God. It says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We'll stop right there, but we'll go further as the Holy Spirit leads us and the word of God is blessed. People of God, if you know anything about the ministry that we have, myself and my husband, Apostle McQueen, and myself have been ministering for a number of years. We started Christ the King Redemptive Ministries in 2002. And it seems as though the messages, amen, that we preached back then and are still just as relevant today as they were when God put them on our hearts. And it's so funny, because it's funny to me, not in a way to be cynical, but it's also an awe, because it's good to be in the vein of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of messages, amen, that we preached then are starting to now be echoed, amen, through the mouths of different ministers, men and women of God, nationally, internationally, amen. And we were ahead of our time. And that is one thing I love about the Father. And I'm not saying that we are the end all of preachers, because I'm pretty sure, and I'm very sure that God has people. He always has a remnant, amen, that is speaking truth. And you too can also speak the truth if you keep your ear close to his lips. Amen. And if you live a life that's pleasing unto him and spend time with him, he too will begin to speak and show you things, amen, that you do not know of. But one thing you have to set in your heart and in your mind is that you cannot be afraid to be a trailblazer. You cannot be afraid to be one that steps out, amen, of the crowd. One thing that my apostle, my husband, constantly preaches is that you have to be willing, amen, to stand alone sometimes. You have to be willing to hew out a path so that others may follow. You cannot be like everybody else. And we have, amen, more cookie cutter copy preachers and teachers of someone else, and no one is being themselves. And it's making it very difficult, amen, for the true church of the living God to stand up, because people are trying to be carbon copies and mini me's instead of being that powerful man and that powerful woman of God that he called you to be. Doesn't care if the people are calling your name or not. You just have to know, amen, within yourself that God is pleased with you. And too often we're worried about man being pleased with us than we are about God being pleased with us. Amen. And sometimes having God being pleased with you means that you have to sometimes go right when everybody else is going left. And as you're going right, you got to know, as the old saints used to say, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that he is speaking into your heart. And you have to be able to stand on his word no matter what comes, no matter the opposition, no matter the discouragement, no matter the obstacle. You got to be able to stand. And here it is in the book of Colossians. The writer is challenging us tonight because he says, listen, once you are saved, once you give the Lord your heart, you are no longer of your own, but you belong to someone else. He said, once you are raised with Christ, then it is time for us to seek the things which are above. In other words, when Christ comes into your life, there is an awakening of your spirit. There is an awakening of the things of the spirit. You begin to crave the things of the spirit. You begin to seek after the things of the spirit, because he has opened up another facet, or I should say he has brought you back into who he really called you to be, being back in reconciliation with him. The Bible says, even in Romans 6, he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, then certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So no longer are you a base, but he's saying now you have been given equal standing. We are now joint heirs, amen, with Jesus Christ. We are now all together in the kingdom. So when you start realizing that you are now a rightful heir to the kingdom, then know that you need to start separating yourself from the things of the world. An apostle said to me a long time ago, and it took me many, many years to really let it set in my spirit. She said something like this: once you are called, when you're called as an eagle, you can't hang out with the chickens. When God has called you to be an eagle, you can't hang around and eat the same grain that the chickens eat. You got to rise above with those of your kind. Now, that's not saying separatism per se, not that you're greater than someone else, that you can't, you know, lend a helping hand to your brother when you see a need. We're not talking about that. We're here to minister, amen, to the needs of the people. But we have to get beyond the mindset that we respond just like the world responds. We can't get on the same wavelength that the world is. We can't become comfortable and so conditioned to the things of the world that we stay in that mold. He said, when you are raised with Christ, he said, you need to seek those things which are above. In other words, I have to learn the language of the kingdom. I have to learn the language of the Father. I have to learn the language, amen, of the Spirit. I have to not only learn the language, but I also have to know how to operate in my new place. Too often we have people that are trying to look the part, but they do not know how to operate how to operate properly in those places. So instead of them being able to move with grace, amen, They kind of blunder all over everything. They make a mockery over things. Because they still tend to have the mindset of the chicken. Now, I know that, and I'm just kind of joking right here, right now, we know that the chicken is actually the holy bird of the African-American church. But I need you to go here with me, amen, for what God is really saying to us tonight. It's time for us to lay aside the carnality of life, the carnality of our emotions, the carnality of the way we think, we move, we breathe. And it is time to put on the mind of Christ. It is time to begin to move in the actions of Christ. It's time to think like Christ thinks. He says, and as you know in the Bible, it says that our minds must be renewed daily. Daily, we begin to think like him, move like him, respond in his character like him. He said, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. How do we find Christ? We find Christ by fellowshipping with him. We find through prayer, through fasting, through reading your word. We find him through assembling ourselves together with the body. We find him through sitting in church and beginning to learn, sitting under a man or a woman of God that can teach us, a shepherd that can teach us and train us, amen, to walk as kingdom citizens, to begin to shake off the things of old, begin to root old thought patterns, old beliefs, amen, that are not always God, old habits, that we need to get rid of so that we can take on the character of Christ. Set your mind. Verse 2. Set your mind on things above. Not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. If I'm looking at just the regular standard dictionary, that word set basically means to deliberately or to purpose, with stability, to place a mind. Our mind has to be delivered. We have to have a purpose. We have to have a made-up mind to say, listen, I'm done with all the foolishness. I'm done with all the fake. I'm done with all the phony. I'm ready to walk in the things of God. And too often for many of us, we struggle in this area because we still are trying to keep one hand attached to the things of the world while we're trying to have one hand hanging on to Jesus. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm telling you, people of God, men and women of God, this is a season. If you do not recognize it, I'm telling you now as a prophet, this is a moment when you need to make up in your mind like never before and deliberately, purposely set your mind on him and the kingdom, on completing your assignment, on completing and fulfilling his will for your life. This is the time, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, next year. I got to handle some things over here, and then when I get around to it, no. We done made too many excuses. Now is the time. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, because when you talk to people, the saints as well as the unchurched, their conversation, amen, is more about what I'm going to get, my building, my future. It's all about the things. You never hardly, amen, hear people talk so much about what am I going to do in the kingdom? What has God placed upon my heart to make sure that I fulfill while I have the time that I have here? And let's be honest, the Bible does talk about that everybody has an appointment to leave out of here. There's a time appointed unto men to die. Now, I don't know why we got up in our mind where we think we're going to live forever. Now, if he gives you that, amen, glory to God, but also recognize that a whole lot of other people thought that they were going to be here a long time, got their candlestick pulled very early in life. So while you have the time that you have left up on this earth, you need to make sure that you're busy doing the assignment, completing, working out your soul salvation with fear and trembling, calling and preaching and ministering to somebody else, fulfilling his will, amen, in the earth, putting your will aside, putting your destiny to the side, your purpose, what I'm going to do in my 5, 10, 15 year plan. Put yourself in the hands of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Because things will pass away. That's why I'm saying I'm not worried about, amen, trying to build that next monument or trying to build that next kingdom or trying to build that next house. If I do, and you've heard me say this many times, if I do what he has called me to do, if I follow Jesus and make him the focal point of my life, then everything that I need, the house, the new car, and everything else that his will ordains for my life will come to me. For many of us, we're too focused on trying to get my car, get my house, get my things, and then we won't set other things in order. Then later for God, and after I get all of this, then I come into the kingdom. And for some of us, we're angry, we're frustrated because we're reaching for things, amen, that we're trying to get. And our motive, amen, is not right because God already knows if I give you this before you're ready spiritually, it's going to lead you to destruction. So we're spinning our wheels. We're reaching as like it's a gold carrot. We're reaching it. And for some reason, we can't seem to grab it. Well, have you thought, man of God, have you thought, woman of God, have you thought, child of the Most High King, that the reason why God is keeping that thing out of your reach because he knows that you are not spiritually mature or ready for that blessing that he has for you. And until you die to that selfish motive that you have, he's not going to give it to you. Well, what is he to everybody else? But you see the mockery that they made of Apple. You see how jacked up their life has become. You see, amen, the struggles. You see the turmoil that's going on in their life. It has no longer become about Christ. It's all about them. And God is looking for a people. Hear me now. God is looking for a people that are concerned about how they look, aren't concerned about the marketing strategies, are concerned about, amen, I got to get on this next gig and preach here and preach there. They're not concerned about, I need the people to like me. They're not concerned about that. All they are concerned about is fulfilling his will and completing his work. Y'all, I was going to slip the scripture in somewhere. Listen, verse 3, for you died. He's bringing clarity now. He said, you were raised with Christ. The minute you said, Lord, come into my heart and my life, he said, no longer is it about you anymore. He said, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm going to let that set for a minute. Whew. We're struggling. This right here is where you really have to know who you are in him. And he's making it clear. The scripture's making it clear right here. Say, listen, you're hidden in him. Your life, your destiny, your plans, your purpose. Once God called you and you said yes, your life is now hidden in Christ. Your life is hidden in God. He said, so when Christ, who is our life, appears, then the real you, or in you also, will appear with his glory. So now you know you don't have to keep. How do I know I'm saved? He's saying it right here. For you died. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You have to believe it. You got to know that you are his. And now that you know that you are his, you got to start acting as though you are his. Too often, people, God, we kill ourselves by the words that come out of our mouth. I preached the message many years ago. I also did a Women of Prophetic Destiny conference talking about speak into the atmosphere. What's so interesting is now I hear everybody talking about you need to speak into the atmosphere. Thank God, Jesus, because he allowed me to be on the cutting edge of that thing and speak it forth early in the world or in the earth. But this is one thing we have to understand. Some of us, the reason why we have not crossed over into the promises that God has spoken over us by the men and women of God, that God has spoken over us by his own word during prayer, during fasting. He spoke words in your ear and you still have not seen the manifestation. It's because you are not speaking what he is saying about you. You don't believe it. I just read 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't see it. I don't know. It's always there. It don't always seem to come to pass. I don't know. However, God is trying to get you to understand and accept it and see it and grab it in the spirit, because every time he does speak to you, for many of us, he done spoke confirmation after confirmation, and we still walking around here as though he hasn't said a word. Why, Lord, ain't it happening? It ain't happening, Lord. It ain't happening. And he keeps confirming it. It's not happening because you're not speaking what he says to speak. You're not speaking his words over your life. You're not speaking, man, into the atmosphere. And what you have 9 times out of 10 in your life is what you have spoken over your life. You are a spirit being. You do know that, right? Yes, there's times when the Lord is testing you. Amen. Yes, sometimes we got some issues and circumstances in our lives. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who have been walking with God for a minute, you got to look around you. Are things not manifesting because you continuously speak in doubt? Yeah, but. I got it, God, but. But yet, you look at other people to your left and your right, and you see them been saved less time than you have now, moving forward swiftly in the things of God, because they just believe. You crying and snotting and shouting and begging everybody to pray over you and fast over you. When all you have to do, child of the Most High God, is walk by faith. Speak it. Huh? Speak it. You want a closer walk with him? Speak it. Huh? You want God to start giving you messages to minister to people? Speak it. You want God to start giving you a boldness of the Spirit? Begin to speak it. You want to start seeing people's lives changed around your job? Start speaking. When you understand your authority, then it becomes easy. You don't have to, well, I don't know if the devil's going to back up. No, you know he's going to back up because you know the authority that you possess. You understand whose authority that you're truly operating in, and you expect things to happen. Not, I hope they happen. They might happen. Maybe it might happen. No, you expect it to happen. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, whatever is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. So don't get all upset. Don't get all up. Don't be snotting. Don't worry about what you lost. Don't be worrying about how much you had to go through. You went through for a purpose. Why did not that situation didn't destroy you? Because God, amen, ordained you, amen, to go through the situation so that in the weakness, as it was sown in weakness, it's raised in power. So they laughed, they scorned you to shame. Some things God took us through, some things we went through on our own because we're just being flat out hard-headed and disobedient. But as we repented and said, Lord, I was wrong. I took a wrong step. That was me. Had nothing to do with anybody else. I made that decision. Let me go here for just a second. Listen. Somewhere, someplace, you need to start taking responsibility for actions. Somewhere, someplace, you need to start taking responsibility for living the kingdom. If you have lack, you have lack because you're not trusting in him. I'm not talking about, hear me clearly. I'm not talking about when God's taking you through a test and a trial. I'm not talking about those type of things when he's testing you to bring you to the next level. But some things, people of God, we just got flat out honest and truthful about it. We walk into it ourselves because we were drawn away. What? By our own lust and desires. Everybody done told you. God has sent people from the saved to the unsaved to say, this is not the direction you need to go in. But you don't understand. I got to do this because I feel in my heart. Everybody, listen. And then you fell off the cliff, when you hit the brick wall, and you come crawling back. I didn't see it. The devil tried to kill me. I barely made it. No, he didn't try to kill you. That was your disobedience that you got. You just, the hedge of protection. God is like, oh, you want it so bad? Go forward. So you can't get upset. Everybody deserted me. No, you were headstrong and determined to go in that direction. Don't get upset. Don't get mad at folks. Don't stop speaking to people. It was you, baby. It was you. And the minute that you recognize that, it was you, your pride, your lustful desire, took you far out of left field somewhere. Repent, get your pride down, go home, and get your mind reset back on things above and off the things of the earth. And let God begin to build you back up. And let God begin to take you and raise you up in power. Not in your power, in his power. Verse 5 says this, therefore, put to death. I know we don't like hearing that. We don't want to hear about nothing being put to death. If it's somebody else, yeah, we fine with it. But when it comes to our stuff, we got an issue. You don't understand. This is who I am. You got to deal with it. We ain't got to deal with nothing. God don't have to deal with nothing. The Bible makes it clear. Put to death your members. Romans 6 and 13 says it clear, just like this. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Ephesians 5 and 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, and not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Oh my God, I read about lost about half of the body of Christ. Listen, look here. You got to realize some things. God, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, hands, feet, everything, our mouths, when we say hallelujah, the whole thing, whatever we do for Christ, it is, we are as instruments. We are the sacrifice that comes before him. But our problem is we want to do our thing, get all fired up, dirtied up, and we still want to go trot on up into the house of God or into God's face as though, you know what, you're going to take this, sir. You're going to take what I give you, and you're going to be glad about it. And for some folks, they're like, listen, y'all, you ought to be glad I'm here. What kind of mess is this? And that's the attitude, amen, that some of us have taken on. Y'all better be glad I'm here. Well, no, not when I got to deal with all the attitude. I'm not glad that you're here. Because when I deal with the attitude, I got to fight off your humanistic spirit. Therefore, I can't even deal with the soul that really needs to hear a word from the Lord. He said, listen, put it to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. I wish I can have that. I want that. Give me that. How is it that people want things that you had to sacrifice for? All got assassinated for that you had to really go through in order to graduate spiritually to that next level, and somebody comes up behind you and expect you to just hand it over to them as though they haven't suffered anything, they haven't went through anything, can barely really fully spell God's name correctly, and they want you to give them, just lay your hand on me and let me have that. Just let me have that. There's an assignment, amen, a young man that's assigned to us, that whenever he sees my husband or meets with my husband, he's always asking him, give me that. Why don't you just give me that? But you haven't sacrificed. You haven't learned the lessons. You haven't gone through the, and I'm going to use his words, the maturation to be able to handle what God has given me, what he's graced me with, what I had to go through to get this, what I had to mature up to get this. If I give this to you, it's like me giving you keys to my Mercedes. You're not just going to get this. And that's what we really have to, people of God, have to understand. Everything is not going to be transferred by the laying on of hands. There are times, amen, that God will allow the man and woman of God to lay hands on you, and it's an immediate spiritual transfer, and you'll see the suddenly of what God is doing, what God did through them. But there's times, amen, most oftentimes they lay hands on you now for your future. And as you're going into that level of into your future, your spiritual future, or what God has already predestined for you, you got to go through some growing pains. You got to have some weeds pulled up, plucked up from your life. You got to be challenged on every level. Your mouth has to be challenged. Your mindset has to be challenged. Your friends, your family, your finances, your love for Christ, everything about you will be challenged on a new level. And then when you go through what God has planned for you to go through, you're not going to be so quick to ask somebody to give you something, because he'll give you your own. Too often or not, we want other people's anointing and don't recognize what they went through to get it. We don't see the tears. We don't see the frustration. We don't see the pain. We don't see the lack, the struggle. We don't see that man or woman of God go through a season of disappointment in their life, go through a season of barrenness. We don't see any of that. All we see is, woo, they look where they are now. I want what they have. But they don't tell you it took them 20 to 30 years to get there. And there are some people that will give up the minute that God says, do it now. They give up everything, and God just pours upon them and goes, woof, and they're gone. And then there's the rest of us who God has to tear down to the very foundation because we're too full of us. Therefore, put to death your members. Put to death the fornication. Put to death the uncleanness. The passion, the evil desire, and the covetousness, which is idolatry. Well, prophetess, I ain't out there 49. I ain't out there, you know, with no evil desire. I ain't out there with no passion. I'm not out there all doing all the craziness, so I don't know what you're talking about. Well, this is what I'm talking about. Ephesians 5 and 3, I just read it to you, but for fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting saints. Your conversations aren't always holy. Your thoughts and your comments aren't always righteous. He says here in Mark 7 and 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders. Sometimes it's physical murder, we know that. But the child of God, the saint, when I'm not trying to murder nobody. Yeah, but every time you see Sister So-and-so, you always got something to say about her. Child, I knew her when. She thinks she all that now, but you don't know she working on her second or third husband. What that got to do with anything? Really? You don't know what the situation was with the first one. You just heard, most of the time, you done heard somebody else say something. You done took it up in your heart, amen, to build a case on top of it. So now you feel that you're an expert. As I say, as we say in our work, where I work at, a subject matter expert. Now you done become a subject matter expert on somebody's life. You don't know what people went through. Maybe, amen, the reason why she might be on the woman, I might be on her second husband, is because when she got saved, the husband no longer wanted to be with her. I'm not trying to live that holy life, so I don't want you no more. Have you thought about that? No, all we see, child, she's working on her second husband. She ain't nothing to say to me. I don't know if she can prophesy if she wants to. I ain't trying to see it. All the hate. Evil thoughts. Adulteries. I never cheated on my spouse. Okay, I'll give you that. But you cheat on God because he'll call you for prayer, and then you find every other reason to get into your stories. At least that's what we used to call them. Nowadays, they're called reality shows. Nowadays, we got different particular shows that we really like The Game. We got shows Scandal. Whole lot of saints watch that Scandal. Can't even preach. And then try to have the nerve to try to make the money out of it. Listen, I'm going to leave that alone. Because of these things. What things? Prophetess, the fornication, the uncleanness, the passion, the evil desire, the covetousness, which is idolatry. Can't worship anything else but him. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming up on the sons of disobedience. Listen, disobedience will get you in trouble with God. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you're preaching. I don't care how much you're praying. If you are not fulfilling his will, if you're not doing what he has called, if you're not making your way to do what he has called you to do, and you're making every excuse as to why you still sitting on the couch, as to why you don't, you know, you still want to stay back. Why I don't want to interact with nobody. Why I don't want to talk to nobody. Why I don't want to minister to nobody. But yet, we find the time to hang around people that are doing the same mess we doing. Not trying to uplift you. Not trying to encourage the things of God. Still talking that mess. Still talking that corner conversation. Gonna do a whole lot, but still sitting there. Disobedience. I don't know. I'm just fear. Disobedient. It's not fear. It's straight out disobedience. You just don't want to do what God called you to do. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Ephesians 2 and 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, you say you're a child of the King. You say that it's filled with His Spirit. You say your voice is, you're attuned to His voice. But if you're not doing, the difference between the person who's unsaved is that they follow their master, which is the enemy, which is the things of the world. But if you, who say that you're raised with Christ and you still following after lustful desires, willfully, then there's some other stuff going on. Son of disobedience. But now you yourselves, now here he's trying to uplift you now, encouraging your heart. He said, verse 8, but now you yourself are put off all these. Now, first he's saying we got to kill some things in our lives. Well, prophet, it seems like all you're saying that this just got to be, we ain't never going to make it. No, I didn't say we're never going to make it. We are making it. We are doing the thing that God has called us to do. We are the chosen one. We are moving in his will and his purpose for your life. You can make it. It's not 20 years down the road. You can make it today. But do know that daily, Paul said to himself, I die daily. You got to make in your mind decisions every day that you're not going to just say and do and respond and act accordingly. And when you slip up, that's where forgiveness, that's where repentance comes in. Lord, help me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have thought it. I shouldn't have did it. Help me. That's where we come boldly to the throne, but we're humbled before him. Why? Because you can't do this on your own. You cannot live this Christian life in your own strength. And we have too many that are trying to live a amen, this Christian life in their own strength and failing miserably. When you have a mediator right there that is waiting for you to call upon him so that he can assist you with living this kind of life. A life of righteousness, a life of peace, a life of holiness, a life of sanctification and separation. He said, why are you killing the passion, the desire, the covetousness? Why you're killing the idolatry? He said also, put off anger. You don't know what they did to me. Well, God knows. That's where repentance comes in. That's where forgiveness comes in. The wrath, the malice, the blasphemy. In other words, the evil speaking, the running folks down, trying to assassinate folks' character. The filthy language out of your mouth. You still cussing, slipping. Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. We also need to be careful about how much we say innuendo over the pulpit as well, or other people, and how the manner we use words in. Example, there's a hell that we know about. And as you're talking and ministering the word of God, you're talking about hell. But then there's using hell in a sentence, amen, when you deal with people in a different context. You're flat out cussing. Well, hell is bad. Yes, it is. The motive. The motive behind it. You're not telling people about hell is not a place you want to go. You're telling people, instead of saying the F word, you just like the, okay, you see where I'm going? Wrong, good language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Christians do a lot of lying, a lot of puffing, a lot of smoke screen. Just people in general. Just people in general do a lot of lying, do a lot of making it bigger than what it is, playing it down than what it should have been. Since you have, he's saying, let's be honest. Just be flat out honest. Since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, that man is Christ, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There's no Greek, nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. So we have to be careful how we treat folk. Because you weren't there when they said, Lord, help me, save me. Everybody's on different levels. You got to be careful who you try. Amen. We're going to stop there tonight, people of God. I'm not done, but we will pick up next week, Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Let's pray. Father, right now, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. Father, even now, I'm asking right now that you would begin to set our minds on things above. Set our minds on you. Set our minds on what is on your heart, your mind, what makes your heart beat. God, give us your mindset according to your will and your purpose in the eyes. Amen. That you have died for us and that our life is hidden in your Son, in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even those, God, who are not saved, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, come into my heart, my life. I'm a sinner. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all righteousness. Make me whole again. I am yours. I will serve you until the end. In Jesus' name we pray. And listen, I want you to go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Click on the WOPD tab. I want you to register immediately for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, October 18th and 19th, 2013. Trust me, it will bless your life. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen, and I'm people of God. Next week, at the same time, Thursday, 7 p.m., for another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and I'll see you again next week.